A lonely fishing village of long ago, lazy and lost in time, lulling and soothing, its memory ebbing with each turning of the tide. Small rooftops bleached and worn by the sun, the gentle pounding of the surf, and a lonesome lighthouse not far in the distance. Listen. Look. It's a melancholy paradise. It's all so beautiful a sight to take in that it begs the question, how is it that we are worthy of such wonders? Perhaps in truth, as we learn in the following tale, we are not really worthy at all. Cakes and Flowers was recorded live in New York City on January 28, 2018. It was part of our collection of nautical nightmares, Lost at Sea.
It seems that every year, certain odd items make the rounds of the ongoing news cycle. Stories about bizarre, unidentifiable carcasses of giant sea creatures pop up periodically. Most recently, we found a story that the Washington Post broke in May of 2017. A 50-foot creature, an animal so strange it's difficult to describe for you verbally, was found washed ashore on a beach in Indonesia. Many people photographed the mysterious beast with their smartphones, and these pictures were shared around the world hoping to finally give credence to the existence of sea monsters, or at the very least, more of a hint at what lies in the vast universe unknown to us at the ocean's floor. Alas, it is often the case with these stories. Scientists are quick to debunk or demystify these discoveries. George Leonard, chief scientist at the Ocean Conservancy, was quoted as saying that the corpse probably was a very badly decomposed baleen whale based on its skeleton and the presence of baleen, a filter feeder mouth system. We'll take Mr. Leonard's word for it, but for now, take our word regarding the following story. It will tease your imagination and make you look twice next time you step barefoot out into the bay.
Come on now, there you go! Come on, you!
Hello there, Squire Luke. Little Luke Topham. Hi there, Luke. Good day there, Luke. Good day to you.
Oh, hey there, Marigold Molly. Ugh, almost there.
What you got there? What's new? What you doing, eh? Something fun? I bet it's lots of fun. You always have lots of fun. Fun and games. Games and fun.
Yes, Molly. Lots of fun.
You know, I just got back from the Parsons. Parson Hill. The Parson. Parson Hill. He's so very kind to Marigold Molly, he is. Told me something wonderful about the Lord's mercy. But I forget exactly what it was he said to me. Oh, well, he is a fine man, Parson Hill. Yes, he is. So very kind. Gave me some of his chowder. Yes, he did. Every day he gives me some of his chowder. Not too much, though. Not too much. I would never want to take more than my share. I mean, he has all those beautiful red-headed children to feed. What would they say? What would they say if they knew I was taking more chowder than I need, huh? I know what they would say, and they would be right. That Marigold Molly eats more than her fill, takes all the chowder and makes herself plump and fat off the goodwill of her neighbors. Oh, and takes all the chowder from the mouths of babes. Right? Right?
Right.
Oh, so, what you got there? What is it?
Oh, can't you tell, Marigold Molly? I'm crabbing, and this here's my crab cage. I'm trying to pull it out of the cove.
Crabbing? Crabbing? Luke Topham, you leave those poor critters alone. They ain't done nothing to you.
And what was in your chowder, Marigold Molly? I'm sure there was crabs in that chowder, Marigold Molly.
Perhaps, but they was dead already. They didn't know any better or worse. But these fellers in your cage, oh, please don't harm them. They're innocent little crabs of God.
Innocent little crabs of God? Oh, boy. Oh, such bunkum.
Please, please, for me, your old friend Molly, don't take them crabs away from their briny little home down below.
Let them go.
Marigold Molly, Crabbin is about all the fun I'm allowed to have out here on the quay. The rest of the time I'm laboring away for my paw in the lighthouse.
Yes, yes, the lighthouse.
It gets so lonesome out here. There's really not much to do at all here in Peter's Pot. Oh, no, all the real action and excitement. That's in New Bedford.
Squire Luke, your crab prison. You let go of the rope. Hooray!
Molly?
Yes, dear.
Molly, what on God's earth is that?
Oh, you've never seen him before. That there's my pet. I believe I told you about him before. No, I'm certain of it. I know for certain I told you about my pet, my treasure.
What is it? Great Gadzooks, it must be 40, 50, 60 feet long.
60? He be 100 feet long. I feed him cakes and flowers every day. He's fat on my cakes and flowers. Fat on my cakes and flowers. Cakes and flowers.
Is that his head?
Oh, so handsome, isn't he? Such whiskers. He's just grand, I tell ya.
It speaks. I gotta tell Pa. We have to warn everybody. The ship's approaching the bay. Oh, the folks in the village.
There you go, sir. So, Mr. Larder, I've listened to your story. You need men, and you need them badly, eh?
There's some urgency here, yeah.
Well, they know your face too well around New Bedford, eh? Can't get your pick of the litter, so to speak. Gotta come sniffing around these parts, huh? Well, as you can very well see, the pickings are slim here in the village of Peter's Pot, but...
You said there's someone you know.
Yes, there is someone I know. He's a sailor, too. Well, used to be, at least. I think there's still a few good years' worth of use left in the old mule. Well, he'll be here tonight. He's here every night, the wretch. Where did you say the ship was bound for?
I didn't.
A secret mission, eh? Down to the West Indies, I'm sure, where the weather is just perfect for smuggling. A gal can't help but wonder.
That's nothing I need to discuss with you. So, you can help me secure this man's services?
Oh, I can. But I want half the money up front.
Very well, Mrs. Fentwick.
Very well indeed, Mr. Larder.
Well, what is this gentleman's name?
Pembroke.
And he'll be here tonight, this Mr. Pembroke?
Oh, yes. By the end of this evening, Pembroke will be all yours. He won't be able to stand, let alone put up much of a...
Mrs. Fentwick!
Will you wipe your feet before you muck up my floors, Pembroke?
A drink! It's a drink I need.
Settle down, sailor. What's gotten into you?
Whiskey! Three fingers.
Well, normally you start with a beer, Pembroke. Calm yourself. What's the matter with you?
Please, whiskey. I can pay you later. I have money. I just have to collect it.
Right.
I was just finishing mending Kulski's fence along the south end of the cove when I saw it. Oh, great God.
Saw what?
A monster. An actual monster from the deep. I don't know what else to call it. It was maybe 80, 90 feet long. And the horrible sound it made.
Yes, yes. This will do nicely. Good day, Mrs. Fentwick. I'll be by later to pick up my order. Thank you.
Pa, I know It sounds crazy.
It's not crazy. You only made a mistake.
But I saw it up close.
Many folks over the years in fishing villages like ours have made the very same error. I've nearly been fooled a number of times myself. It's always nothing but a large shoal, a school of porpoises.
But I saw its face! I was there with Marigold Molly. Just ask her.
Marigold Molly, son? You'll need a far more reliable witness than she. I'm afraid that brain fever of hers might be contagious. Come on, son. We still have much work to do on the axle of the light's rotary mechanism before nightfall. Could it be? Who meddles with our foghorn?
Bah! That's it!
What's what? Foghorn sounds positively anemic. If I find the nasty rascal who... Oh, my.
See? I told you. You can see it even better from the deck.
My spyglass, boy.
Here, Pa. What says you, Pa?
We've got to let everyone know. We should warn the villagers.
Hello, listeners. I wanted to come up for air for a brief moment to share a few words of my excitement about our sponsor for this episode, Green Chef. Green Chef is a USDA-certified organic company that includes everything you need to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about, too. Green Chef has all the things that I want from this kind of service. Quick and easy, chef-designed recipes that are imaginative and new. Pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped ingredients, convenience and ease, a wide variety of organic ingredients, hand-picked and delivered right to my door. But what means the most to me is that Green Chef takes it further and truly has something for everyone. As someone who has had to be frustratingly gluten-free for 18 years, I can't tell you how thrilled I was to see a plan that was perfect for me. There are other meal plans too, like paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, omnivore, and carnivore. And you can switch them up whenever you want. With Green Chef, it's easy for me to maintain my gluten-free diet and enjoy exciting new options too. I do enjoy cooking, but sometimes my repertoire gets to be pretty stale and I'm at a loss for new ideas. And, of course, more often than not, my crazy schedule leaves me little time to get to the store. So, I've been pleasantly surprised with how easy and delicious my Green Chef experience has been. I loved the chicken salad lettuce wraps with lemon pesto aioli and a side of quinoa with toasted nuts and seeds. Chicken salad is definitely a comfort food for me, and the lemon pesto aioli was a yummy and zesty upgrade to regular old mayo. Oh, and I'm not afraid to admit, I love quinoa in any and every way. So I'll say it was quite the wholesome way to give in to my comfort food cravings. Plus, there was no feeling bad about indulging myself afterwards. You can get in on this too, my dear FMT listeners. Get $50 off your first box of Green Chef when you go to greenchef.us/theater. That's greenchef.us/theatre. No doubt, we all feel better when the food we eat is healthier, wholesome, high quality, and sustainably sourced. Let the smart folks at Green Chef help you do just that with $50 off your first box at greenchef.us/theater. All right, now let's get back to our macabre little maritime tale.
What's the matter, Mrs. Fenwick?
What's the matter?
Yes, what's the matter?
Some more whiskey, Pembroke. Or would you rather switch to beer? Or one of each, perhaps?
I'll have money tomorrow. I swear, when I go to Mr. Kolsky, I swear it.
I believe you.
You see, that's just it.
What?
You're being way too kind toward me. What's happening here, Mrs. Fenwick?
Should I stop being kind toward you, Pembroke?
Truthfully, I might feel better if you were your normal, ornery self. I come to this inn for the hard words as well as the hard drinks. It's my penance, I suppose.
More whiskey, then. The temperature's gonna drop this eve. You'll want to keep yourself warm.
Keep yourself warm? What is this? You make me feel like the goose being fattened up for Christmas dinner.
Oh, drink up, sailor.
Ex-sailor. I say, the whole of today, it can't be nothing more than a long and rolling dream. It must be. Mrs. Perry Fentwick, yes, the Mrs. Perry Fentwick, is feeding me drink after ever-loving drink, with a smile, no less. And I see an enormous monster, hideous sea monster.
So you did.
Eh? What's that, fellow?
No tricks were played upon your eyes. You saw it. In the honest light of day, an enormous creature, something you thought only could be dreamed by makers of myth and legends. But lo, it showed its body, its face, to you.
Ah, then it'll be you and me they're laughing at, with scorn as we try to explain it to them.
It's not just you and I, sir. This monster is well known to me and my comrade here beside me. It has brought us here to Peter's Pot, but I have failed to introduce myself. I am Leonard Druskett of the Druskett Merchant Company, and this is the legendary seaman, Mr. Nathan Proud.
Name's Pembroke, sir. Pleased to meet you. Join me for a drink.
A merchant, eh? Oh, Mr. Druskett, I'm most pleased to make your acquaintance. I'm Perry Fentwick. Welcome to my inn. What can I do for you?
We would reward you generously for a couple of your rooms and a hot supper.
Well, I'd be most happy to oblige. Close the door all the way, boy.
So sorry, Mrs. Fentwick. Mrs. Fentwick!
Be patient, son. Allow me to do the speaking.
So, where did you spot this strange creature of the deep?
You mean the monster.
The monster?
Quiet, son.
I saw it. Surface in the cove, not 2 miles from here.
So Mr. Pembroke saw it as well, Pa.
Did you hear that, Mr. Proud?
Aye, Druskett.
And you, boy, you saw the beast as well.
Yes, he saw it, and so did I.
Where?
By the quay where the Peter's Pot light stands. I'm Edward Topham, the light's keeper. I saw the monster from the deck of the light.
It was 100 foot long, maybe longer.
Luke.
And I saw it up close, stared right into its demon yellow eyes. I saw it open its mouth, saw teeth the size of sabers, heard its cry.
Rest easy now, son.
I only saw the monster's long body, but I too heard its cry. That was enough for me.
The boy paints quite an accurate picture, then.
And how would you know that, sir?
Nathan Proud knows better than any man alive. He faced and helped kill the only other known specimen captured by man.
He killed one of these monsters?
Nathan Proud is the greatest whaling harpoon man I've ever known. Now please, demonstrate, Mr. Proud.
By the almighty!
Guys,
put the dartboard in half!
My apologies, Mrs. Fentwick. I will compensate you for that. It was the strong arm and precise aim of Nathan Proud that slayed the beast. When was that again?
The year was 1850.
1850? That was over...
Yes, the year was 1850. I was a member of the crew of the whaling ship, the Morabella. We sailed from New Bedford bound for the North Pacific.
I should add that the Morabella sailed in the company of my ship, the Polly Powers. I was the owner of the Polly Powers and was aboard, traveling as a passenger.
Yes, the Polly Powers followed us as we traveled the same route. On board the Morabella, many days and hours had passed routinely without incident when suddenly... we heard the cry, "White water! White water!" said a voice coming from the fore topmast cross trees. "Where away?" shouted our captain. "2 points on the lee bow!" We were starved with a passion for the oil that comes from the whale's blubber and the fortune it provides. So we all made ready. But we knew that even a sperm whale could not cause a ruckus like the one we saw. I spotted it first. It was the strangest thing I ever saw. It looked like a giant, black, slimy weaving rope. Several feet in diameter. We all swallowed hard as its gigantic head turned to face us. Its yellow eyes narrowed as it uttered an almost pitiful moan. A
Every last man on board watched dumb with awe in a moment of cold terror that seemed to last forever. Until the captain broke the silence and shouted, "Stand by the boats! All hands aft! This will be the greatest day you'll ever know," said he. "Every man that helps capture and skin this creature will be made legend. Who will take up the bounty?" I rode in the captain's boat, harpoon in my hand. Two more boats lowered, one with the first mate, the other with the second mate. The wind and the sea carried the boats rapidly to leeward, and not long were we beside the monster. Up close, it seemed almost weary, as it were out of breath. It stared at me with its yellow eyes. The captain grunted at me his command. I arose, cold but calm, inhaled deeply, then hurled with all my might. It was the greatest throw of my career. The harpoon had penetrated the eye socket of the beast. More harpoons were tossed and landed, but it was the captain's lance that landed the death blow. The beast had taken the captain's and third mate's lives. Later, after some talk amongst us, we decided that the creature was too large to preserve and transport in its entirety, but that the head, the skin, and its bones would be taken back to New Bedford. So, we got down to the business of the thing. I have some ability as a draftsman, so I was able to make some crude but effective sketches of the beast. We measured it. It was 110 feet long, head to tail. We determined it to be a female. When we gutted it, the largest part of the body was the stomach, which was 49 feet, 11 inches. We found mainly squids and blackfish inside. The beast had two spout holes, very much like the kind you'd find on a whale. When the head was taken in, it was a frightful sight. The head was long and flat with ridges. Its jaws were 98 horribly sharp teeth, each the size of a man's index finger. The end of its long tongue was like the head of a heart. The bones were saved, and the captain placed the beast's heart and its remaining eye in a cask of liquor. And yes, by God, there was the blubber. It required twice the effort needed on a mere whale to flense this creature, but the effort was well worth it. The oil from the blubber was of a curious amber hue, almost like honey.
Such wonderful stuff this blubber was. Do you know how special this amber oil was, lighthouse keeper?
Tell me.
Your lighthouse could run for 10, maybe 15 years using just a pint glass full of the stuff.
Tell me, where are the remains of this monster that was slain? Can it be seen somewhere?
Unfortunately, it was lost.
But you said it was captured, killed, fenced.
And it was.
But the ship was lost. On the return trip, the Morabella was caught in a storm. My vessel, the Polly Powers, barely avoided destruction in the storm itself. But we came upon the wreckage. Everyone aboard the Morabella had perished, except for Nathan Proud. The remains of the beast were lost forever, except for one thing. One cask of the oil was saved, but now it was being used by Mr. Nathan Proud to remain afloat in the ocean. The captain and crew of my ship forever have my admiration for rescuing our good Mr. Proud, as well as the surviving cask of oil he floated upon.
Egad, what a tale.
I have here on my person a vial containing the last few drops of this miraculous amber oil. The rest has been, I regret to say, used up. Mr. Proud and I have searched patiently for many, many years, emboldened by the confidence that there could not be just one of these strange animals. It now seems our perseverance has finally paid off, and that fate has joined us all together.
Then you're going to hunt down this beast.
Right here in Bader's Pot? Oh, by golly, when will you sail? If it's a cabin boy you need, I gladly volunteer.
I'll consider it.
Luke, you shall do no such thing, my son.
But, Pa!
It's too dangerous. No, I forbid it. Besides, I still need you at the lighthouse.
You must listen to your father, lad.
Hello! Pretty flowers for all. Fresh flowers, fresh flowers.
Oh, boy, Marigold Molly.
And what about me, Mr. Druskett? I am a sailor, you know. I'd be glad to join you for the hunt.
Oh, wait a minute. You just settled down. Do you really wish to return to that life?
And stay with this one? Are you mad, woman? This is no life for me, nor for anyone. This has just walked through the door. Tell me when an opportunity like this will come my way again. I'll tell you when. Never!
I appear. Just have another whiskey.
I will not have another whiskey!
Pretty flowers for all! If you have a penny to spare, then God will bless you. If you don't, that's all right, too. God will bless you anyway, even if I don't wish to. Ah, pretty flower for you, Luke.
Sure, Molly.
Mr. Druskett, Mr. Proud, if crew be needed for your ship, I would only be too honored to volunteer my service in any capacity you see fit.
Pembroke.
Damn your eyes, Perry! Shut up! Mr. Druskett.
You must forgive me, Mr. Pembroke. The last thing I wish to do is insult you, but it's healthy and able-bodied men we'll be looking for.
We must only have the best and strongest men we can find on board, you see.
Oh, I see. Yes. Quite right.
Hello, Perry. Do you have my cakes? Oh, here is a flower for you, by the way.
Hello, Molly. Thank you. Yes, here are your cakes, dear.
Oh, God bless you, Mrs. Fenwick. God bless you and Parson Hill. What would life be like without you? It would be like waking in the morning without the rising of the sun. Yes, it would. The sun. Oh, the sun. The wonderful, glorious sun. Have you seen how it looks at us now? How could it be that we're worthy of such things and wonders in this world? How blessed are we? Yes, indeed. Oh, God bless thee, Mrs. Fenwick. Now, off to feed my pet. Oh, he'll love these cakes and these flowers.
Feed your pet? You mean the monster? Psst, Mr. Druskett. She saw the monster before any of us in the village did. She says she feeds it every night somewhere along the cove. She thinks it's her pet.
So, Miss?
A flower, sir, for Marigold Molly.
Oh, I thank you, Molly.
And you, sir.
Thank you, miss.
So I understand you have the most wonderful pet.
Oh, no, he's not wonderful. He's amazing, sensational, incredible, a joy and a treasure.
How long have you had this pet?
Well, let me see, how old am I? I can't quite remember that either.
Disregard the question. When will you see your pet again?
Oh, I'm going there now. I had to get his cakes. His favorite meal is cakes and flowers. I always bring him cakes and flowers.
May we join you, Miss Molly?
Oh, that would be wonderful. You could help me feed him.
Yes. Yes, we could.
Well, there's no reason why we shouldn't go now, is there?
Not at all. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Mr. Proud, your harpoon? You mustn't forget your harpoon.
Thank you, son.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go!
I ought to twist your ear off, boy.
I'm sorry, Pa.
Offering to be a cabin boy. Are there rocks in your head? Run off and become a whaler's stooge? Oh, fool boy.
Well, Pa, sometimes it just gets so lonesome here in Peter's Pot.
Yes, but lonesome is much better than dead, which is how you'll end up if you try crossing lines with that beast. Let's pick up our pace. Gotta get back to the lighthouse before we lose the sun. Son? Luke! Boy, where'd you go now? Luke, where are you?
I'm over here. Look.
Oh.
It's Mr. Nathan Proud's harpoon.
Covered in blood.
Is it the beast blood, or?
I don't know.
Oh, and here, and the reed's a boot.
Lord, heaven.
And this, what could this be?
Let me see it. Looks like a vial made of glass.
Well, it's cracked, but there's a few drops of
oil, the color of amber. Enough to power a lighthouse for
the sun. Where does the sun go?
Molly?
Molly?
Molly! There she is, at the foot of the rock.
The sun. Where does it go? Where does she go? The sun. Beautiful, beloved sun.
Oh, Molly.
Molly?
Oh, how did this happen, Molly?
Follow the sun, my pet. You are safe now. Where the sun is, you'll find it. Peace, love everlasting. Just like Parson Hill says, find the sun. Find the sun, my pet. Swim to it. And never, never look back. I'll be there too.
A starless sky above. Here am I, patiently waiting, hoping and longing, oh how will I yearn. Where are you? Are you forgetting? Patiently waiting, hoping and longing, oh, will I learn? Where are you? Oh, are you forgetting? Do you remember? Will you return? Oh, I cover the waterfront. For the one I love will soon come back to me.
Woo!
coda to our show, we offer an original piece penned and performed by our resident poet, David Linton.
Ocean home. They say we came from the sea, from the brine and slime of the sea. But we traded over time our fins for fingers, our gills for lungs, our scales for skin. We moved to deserts, to mountains, to plains. Yet our home keeps calling us back to ships, to beaches, to islands, Miami Beach, Jersey Shore, Hamptons, the Cape, Hawaii, Aruba and Scuba. Our heroes go back, Odysseus and Nemo and JFK. Our ships go down, Titanic and Pequod. Hemingway hooks a marlin, Defoe shipwrecks Caruso. Coleridge haunts an ancient mariner, Shakespeare stirs a tempest. Ahab meets his match, Noah builds an ark, Jonah is swallowed. Ocean agents sing us songs of invitation. Phil Phillips calls us to the Sea of Love. Frankie Ford offers a sea cruise. Bobby Darin would take us beyond the sea. We cry a collective man overboard, ship ahoy, from the deck of our ship of fools. As our birthplace rises to call us home, we give its messengers names. Sandy, Irma, Harvey, Irene. Inch by inch, storm by storm, dune by dune, tide by tide, it comes for us. Insistent, persistent, lapping and breaking again and again, ignoring our denials. We may have left home, but home will not leave us. It beats on our shores, knocks on our doors, tells us once more, come home, come home, come home.
And that was Cakes and Flowers. Edward Topham was played by Alan LaForest. Luke Topham was played by Casey LaForest. Pembroke was played by Eric Davey Gislason. Leonard Druskett was played by James Reeser. Nathan Proud was played by Michael Pate. Mr. Larder was played by David Linton. Marigold Molly was played by Mary Murphy. And the part of Perry Fentwick was played by me, Ali Silva. The song, I Cover the Waterfront, written by Johnny Green and Edward Heyman, was performed by Susan O'Day, accompanied by Jason Yeager. Cakes and Flowers was written by Sylvan Sandovar and directed by Holly Payne Strange. Lost at Sea was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Jason Graves composed our theme music. Our musical score was improvised by Steve Blanco. Our sound effects designer and engineer was Greg Russ. And our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. So, you like our show quite a bit. Well, after all, you made it this far in the end credits. If you like us this much, but you still haven't left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, I have to ask, what are you waiting for? Podcasts, especially the ones you listen to on a regular basis, really depend on your ratings and reviews. It doesn't cost you anything but a couple of minutes of your time, and each positive rating and review helps to boost our profile and helps to keep this content free. If you haven't already, follow these three easy steps. Subscribe, rate, review. That's it! Why not also follow all of our adventures on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter? Our handle is @FiresideMystery. Okay, so you love our show, and you really want to support us so we can continue to dream, develop, and distribute our delightfully dark brand of audio entertainment. Well, there are two things that you, amazing FMT fan, can do. First, become our very own Patreon patron. Just go to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater, and you too can champion our eerie endeavors. There are special perks available exclusively for our Patreon subscribers. Go to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater to aid and abet our deepest, darkest dreams. Another thing you can do is get your mitts on all sorts of merchandise from our store. From t-shirts to mugs, from tote bags to stickers, just go to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch.
It's International Podcast Day, my friends, and to celebrate, we've got a sale going on. Starting today, September 30th, through to Tuesday, October 2nd, midnight Eastern Standard Time, use code FIRESIDE30 to get 30% off the price of all of our branded bits and bobs. Go to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch and use code FIRESIDE30. Sunday, October 21st, 2018, 5 p.m. Go on, mark that date on your calendar right now. That's the date of our season premiere at the Slipper Room in New York City. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. For all you fiendish fans of dark literary classics, the Midnight Reading is back. 6 all-new, rare, and precious gems that will have you looking over your shoulder the next time you walk past a bookshelf. We've already released 2 of these babies into the world. 4 more terrific tales are coming your way. This is your own Ali Silva. Oh, pay no mind to those strange creaky sounds coming from below deck, but do be sure to mind the shadows.